You're listening to Art Snap, a podcast giving you a quick skim of famous works of art.
Hey, this is Claire.
And this is Zach.
Hello, Zach.
Hey, Claire. How are you?
Zach, guess what? Today, we're going to go to a happy place.
Oh, really? Like your happy place or mine? Because mine involves Scotland, dreary weather, whiskey.
Oh, okay. Well, not a bad time, but that's hilarious. Today, though, we're going to learn about a work from my favorite artist. And Okay. Yes, I'm going to claim favorite. I think I say that a lot, but this one I'm going to commit, I think.
Okay.
Well, she's definitely top three. So she is, the artist we're going to talk about, is a current working American artist and a professor, Sandy Skoglund.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Now, okay. I mean, that's a different artist than I would have kind of put in your top three, but I can kind of see it. But you always love paintings too, and this is more kind of installation art, and I guess she's also a photographer. Is that right?
Yeah, right. So she works as a professor of photography and professor of art installations and multimedia studies at Rutgers University, currently in New Jersey. So she's just a short drive into New York City, and lots of galleries there show her work.
Nice. And she's got a lot of great works over the years. So which one of her works did you pick for today? I mean, well, actually, before we go there, I know we've talked about installation works before, like Yayoi Kusama in a previous episode. But recently, someone, I'm not going to name names, okay, it's Chris, wanted to know kind of more about installation art. And maybe we could just talk quickly about what it means to be an installation artist, because maybe not everyone knows.
Okay, sure. So we'll start with the most basic of basics. So why don't you explain what an installation artist is?
Yeah, let's do that. So, and just in case someone thinks it's like the person who hangs the art on the wall or puts it into the room, which...
Right, yeah. Not to name any names, right? So it's not the person who hangs art on the wall, although super important job, and I probably need to hire that person to help me hang some art.
Oh, you know I'll come and hang art anytime, maybe for a glass of wine or three, you know?
Right. So I don't know if you're like me, I set my artwork on the floor a lot and put it where I kind of think I might want to hang it. And then I leave it there for weeks, sometimes months, because in my head I'm like, okay, I got to get used to this placement, see if
it's
I
commitment.
Like it.
Yeah.
Right. But really it's because I'm procrastinating the whole commitment thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do the same thing. I've got a whole stack of artwork behind me you can't see that's hiding that needs to either be framed or rematted or hung or something. So it's a problem. I get it.
All right, good. I'm not the only one. So, well, all right, back to art installations. That's where the artist creates a room instead of, a two-dimensional piece of art or even a sculpture. It is an entire room. The walls, ceiling, floor, the whole surrounding space envelops the viewer. Often it's a surreal or alternate reality. And I love this concept because it's so much like creating the set of a movie or play.
Yeah, you're right. And it typically is kind of this immersive experience. I guess it could be a smaller installation too, but you typically think of that kind of fully immersive and often really surreal kind of experience when you walk into it. But I guess they also don't have to be surreal either. I guess they could be something that's familiar, kind of like you mentioned, like a set or a play. But I think many artists bring you a combination of something familiar and a format that you really haven't seen before to kind of challenge your mind. So you walk in and it's like, bam, light bulb.
Right. Sandy Skoglund does something like that. She creates amazing, colorful, otherworldly installations, and they always have a familiar element so we can relate. And I absolutely love them for a few reasons. They check all the boxes for me on what a great piece of art should have.
Okay. Well, let's see your checklist. What you got?
All right. Glad you asked. First, they have color. Like her installations I love have this day glow, a bright, bright color. They also involve animals and sometimes food and always sense of humor. The best.
Yep, I could see this. This fits you perfectly. It's like a piece of work made just for you. Color, animals, maybe food, humor is kind of your top one.
Right. So, for example, her installation, Cocktail Party, from 1992. It's a room that shows mannequins and sometimes also live actors for the photography piece. They have drinks. They have a coffee table. They're at a cocktail party. They're wearing their cocktail dresses. The men are in suits. But the entire scene is covered in cheese puffs, like the people, their clothing, the dresses, the martini glasses they're holding, the walls.
What? Oh, my God. This is crazy. I got to see this. So, okay. Oh, my gosh. So how does she cover them all in Cheetos? This is wild.
not to be nitpicky here, Zach, but they're not Cheetos, they're cheese puffs.
Oh, that's right. Cheese puffs. Sorry. A very important distinction here.
Yeah, yeah. Not that bumpy, the bumpy, like, irregular kind, but, like, the cheese puffs, right, that are, like, tubes, I guess.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, cheese puffs. We got it. But this is wild and crazy. I'm looking at it now. I mean, what does this even mean? Like, okay, let me be clear here. You gave me a hard time about Rothko. I mean, and you want me to let this kind of cheese poof art just slide by unnoticed? I mean, even if it is by the great Sandy Scotland.
All right, good point, Zach, but you're going to have to let it slide. So this is not even my favorite installation of hers, but I just wanted to bring it to this episode. It's like your appetizer, a good intro to her.
Cheese puff appetizer.
Mm-hmm. Right, but one of her themes she uses a lot is opposites. She loves the juxtaposition of the fancy cocktail party and like gross orange cheese poofs, right?
Oh, now they're gross orange cheese poofs. I get it.
All right, gross is a strong word. I don't hate cheese poofs. I'm not going to put on airs here.
All right, so then tell us about your favorite piece of hers. Like, which installation comes to mind as being the one that you're always drawn to?
All right, I struggled really hard. I was choosing between Radioactive Cats from 1980 and Fox Games from 1989. This is a hard choice, really hard.
Oh my God, these titles are cracking me up. Radioactive Cats, Fox Games. Okay.
I like Radioactive Cats. It's probably her best known piece, and I think there's a lot of cat lovers out there, even me. But I did end up choosing Fox Games for this episode because it's just the best. It really represents her signature style. She sets up a room in one color, monochromatic, mm-hmm. and then she has this unexpected element that repeats over and over and over again. So repetition is a big part of her installations. In fact, she spoke to the point of repetition. She considers it a form of minimalism. So even when her scenes seem like super busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. So, I mean, like, I can see how the repetition is kind of this form of minimalism. I mean, that's a fantastic way of kind of thinking about it.
So picture this, Fox Games. We have this large room painted a bold, true red, flat red. I guess she searched and searched. She was specifically about it just being a classic red. It's set up to look like a fine dining restaurant. We have red chandelier, tables, chairs, tablecloths, bread baskets, wine glasses, all the same flat red. It looks like a set for a play. Then we have these gray sculpted, larger than life foxes, and they're leaping through the restaurant. Sandy Scoglin hand sculpted these in her studio out of plastiline, which is kind of like this oily clay-like modeling material,
mm-hmm. yep.
which, by the way, they must have been so heavy because I've worked with plastiline. Like, even a little brick of it is just really heavy. And some of the foxes are leaping from table to table. Some are suspended in midair. Some foxes are sitting. Some are stalking under things.
Yeah, I love the ones that are just kind of sitting in a chair like they're waiting for their cocktail to arrive.
Yeah.
So cool.
Okay, so there are two versions of this same installation. She first created one, like I said, red restaurant, gray foxes, but then there's another one in the reverse colors. We get to see the restaurant in all gray and then the foxes created in bright red. And this version, which she actually created first, she poses real people or actors wearing gray to be her diners, and there's a waiter too. And true to her own tradition in this bizarre scenario, the people are just completely stoic. They're not reacting to the foxes. They're acting like everything's normal in the restaurant.
Nice. That's truly great. I mean, I love the concept of opposites. I mean, like, we see this refined restaurant, the civilized world, and invading it as this kind of elusive wild creature. This is what I meant earlier when I said that it's kind of like the surreal, but with this familiar element. We know what a restaurant feels like. We know what a fox looks like. But then a fox leaping and, like, taking over the restaurant, that's when you're kind of like, wait, my mind isn't quite processing this the way, you know, you'd expect.
I know. I'm so glad you like it. It's like Wizard of Oz meets like an apocalyptic future, but maybe without the desolation. In fact, I don't really think of it as heavy or dark at all. Her pieces are really deep. They're interesting, but she does it like so lighthearted and wild with this carefree kind of way, you know?
Yeah. So is there a meaning behind this one? I mean, you said kind of deep, but like where does she start with this?
So I remember reading an interview where she said it just started because I wanted to sculpt a fox. And then her process was to let it evolve from there. And in this case, the restaurant came later.
There's something kind of fun about and beautiful about kind of letting the creative process just unfold and evolve as you go. Now you can, you know, make me wonder about radioactive cats. And that's the thing that keeps getting stuck in my mind.
Yeah. And try Revenge of the Goldfish or Squirrels at the Drive-In. I was once showing slides to my students of these pieces, and we got to the one titled Maybe Babies. And they all just, I didn't expect this, but they all were like, ugh, creepy.
So I'm guessing she creates these elaborate installations and then she does photograph them, right? I mean, she's the photographer. And that's why she's kind of always thinking about what's her next kind of creation, because like in this case, she wanted to sculpt a fox and photograph a fox, and then it kind of just built from there. Is that right?
Yeah. Her installations are not permanent, usually. She constructs them for an exhibit, for a specific gallery, and then she deconstructs them after photographing them as, you know, the permanent record or the permanent piece. She says she's lucky to be working at a time photography exists, because that allows her to, you know, create these enormous installations and not have them be so ephemeral.
Yeah. Like, I want to see one of these really badly, in fact. So we should go and take one of her classes at Rutgers, maybe. We just gotta sneak in the back.
I wish. Yeah, we could maybe just go volunteer on her crew to help pose in the next installation, because she does have people, you know, posing as models, wearing cheese puff outfits, raisins, popcorn, whatever.
Hey, that'd be fantastic. We'd probably get fired, though. We'd probably be eating the cheese puffs in the back of the room.
No, you would get fired, Zach. I would have to keep swatting you off me. You'd be trying to eat the cheese puffs off my hat or something.
I mean, if they were potato chips, I would say yes, but maybe not cheese puffs. It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, if we were wearing Girl Scout cookies, we'd be in trouble.
Oh, then you'd be in trouble. I can eat my weight in Girl Scout cookies.
Right. Yeah. I'd be left bare.
Yeah. Gosh, this is fantastic, Claire. So where's a good museum or gallery to see the Scotland works? Like, where can we go to kind of feel one of these kind of installations for ourselves?
I know. Well, so the Denver Art Museum in Denver, Colorado, purchased Fox Games, like not just the photograph, but the actual installation. So they have the red restaurant version with gray foxes.
Okay.
But the photographs exist in many places. The Brooklyn Museum, the Met in New York owns her pieces, photographs. The Holden Luntz Gallery in Palm Beach, Florida has a huge collection of her photographs. The small galleries in New York will often feature her photographs alongside like a clay prop, like maybe a dog or a squirrel or a fox, something that was involved in the installation.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I definitely want to see one of the installations. And you mentioned Denver, so we may have to go there, because it sounds like a lot of them are kind of broken down and get kind of put away or shipped away.
Yeah, I was reading about how they were shipped, like Fox Games, for example, where the curators are unpacking this careful inventory of, you know, like a certain number of gray bread baskets and tablecloths, and they have written instructions how to assemble them. She just ended an interesting show called The Outtakes. Mm. That was in both New York and Denver in the past few years. During the pandemic, when life shut down for everybody, college professors, artists alike, she started digging back into her photographs from decades past. And these were the outtakes, the ones that she discarded and said, like, oh, I don't like the way, you know, a certain person's head was turned or, you know, whatever. She saw them with fresh eyes, of course, like many, many years later. And she was like, oh, you know, like all these missed little nuances that I actually like now. And she created a show out of those. But yeah, we have to wait for her next installation. I'm glued to her Instagram page, Sandy Skoglund Art, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she creates next.
That's fantastic. I love the idea of the outtakes, because I mean, you create something and then you look at it years, decades, even hours later, and you know, you see something completely different in it. I know that I've created stuff, not great stuff, but I've created stuff, and then years later thought, oh wow, I wonder, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought it was at the time, or you know.
Yeah, there's something to be said about going back and with fresh eyes, like I said.
Well, this has been fantastic, Claire. I loved hearing about your favorite artist or one of your top three, and it gives me kind of a little bit of an insight into what's going on inside your mind. And next time, we do this with Girl Scout cookies. So,
agreed.
Well, have a great one, Claire. It's been good talking to you, and I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye, Zach.
If you'd like to learn more about the work of art and the artist, check us out on Instagram, artsnap.pod.
If you liked hanging out today and talking about art, rate us and subscribe wherever you download your podcasts.
See you next time.